1 Samuel chapter 1. We are on the second week of the instruction manual for the Christian life. And today the topic is how to get things from God when you pray. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. Then Eli answered and said to Hannah, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Father, we ask your blessing upon your word today. Lord, help us to be able to have some practical ways in which we can not only pray, but receive answers to our prayers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this study, we are not just asking about what we should do as Christians, but how to do what we know we should do. For example, last week we talked about how to read the Bible. It's one thing to say we need to read our Bible, but it's another thing to know how to read our Bible. This week I want us to think about prayer, a prayer life, and how to have an effective prayer life. We know that prayer is important as Christians, but how should we pray? How can we pray and actually get things from God when we pray? D.L. Moody said, "I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher." Realize that Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, but he did teach them how to pray. Moody was well aware of the importance of prayer in the Christian life. I've often preached on how important prayer is, but today I want to make it practical and talk about how to pray. When it comes to learning how to pray, I think that the greatest example in all the Bible is this lady by the name of Hannah. We not only see her praying, but we also see her getting answers to her prayer. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. She named the son she received from God in answer to prayer Samuel, which means asked of God." Her son was a testimony to how Hannah prayed and that God answers prayer. So let's look today at this example of prayer and learn how we can get answers from God like Hannah did. First, think about the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer. Verse 10 says that Hannah prayed unto the Lord. Why did Hannah pray? Why do we pray? What is the reason, the purpose of prayer? Phillips Brooks, the great preacher from Boston in the 1800s, said, "A prayer in its simplest definition is merely a wish turned Godward." A wish turned Godward. Let me sum up the purpose of prayer in two thoughts. First, the purpose of prayer is to request things from God, to ask God for certain things. This is what Hannah was doing in verse 11. We find her asking, "Give unto thine handmaid a man-child." In verses 5 and 6, we see why she's praying, because the Lord had shut up her womb. She was barren, unable to have a child. And we see her praying, requesting that God would give her a son. Prayer is simply defined as our coming to God and asking Him for certain things. At times, we ask for things concerning ourselves personally. It's often indicated in the Bible by the word supplication. Supplication. When we are asking God for things purposefully, we are exercising supplication. The word is very common in the Bible, and it usually speaks of us bringing our own needs before the Lord. At other times, we are asking God because we are concerned for others. It's indicated by the word intercession. intercession is prayer with a focus, not so much as of our own needs, but also on the needs of others. And so when I pray and I'm asking God for my own needs, I am offering supplication. When I'm praying for you or someone else and I'm asking God to meet your needs or their needs, I'm involved in intercession. Prayer, whether asking for things that concern ourselves personally or others, is still, though, a matter of asking. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. So prayer is asking, and God is saying, ask. What is it that I can give you? What is it that you want? What is it that you have need of? Jesus said in Matthew 21, 22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So prayer is asking. James says we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we don't get it just because we don't ask for it. If we want to get it from God, we're going to have to ask. Furthermore, the purpose of prayer is not only to request things from God, but also to receive things from God. To receive things from God. I mean, what would be the purpose in praying if we didn't pray believing that we were going to receive answers to our prayer from God? Hannah was not only requesting a son from the Lord, but she received a son from the Lord. We read in verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. And in verse 20, we read, and she bare a son. So there was a request on her part as well as a reception. Jesus defined prayer when he said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So the purpose of prayer is to request things from God that we might receive things from God. The hand of prayer consists of asking. It might be petitions, it might be intercession, it might be confession, it might be thanksgiving, it might be praise. Those are all forms of prayer that we need to be involved with. John R. Rice wrote a book entitled, Prayer is Asking and Receiving. Its title tells us what prayer really is. It is asking and receiving. As Dr. Rice would say, prayer is asking and the answer to prayer is receiving. Now, the very purpose of prayer tells us that prayer is a spiritual exercise in which we get things from God when we pray. Prayer is more than uttering words that rise no higher than the ceiling. Prayer is the means by which we ascend to the very throne of God. Ask things for God, from God, and actually receive things from God, the things that we ask for. An overweight businessman decided it was time to shed some excess pounds. He took his new diet seriously, even changing his driving route to avoid his favorite bakery. One morning, however, he arrived at work carrying a gigantic coffee cake. Everyone scolded him, but his smile remained like that of an angel. This is a very special coffee cake, he explained. I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and there in the window was a host of goodies. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have one of these delicious coffee cakes, let me have a parking space directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, he continued, the eighth time around the block, it was there. The very definition of prayer is to ask and keep on asking, right? Keep on praying. God answers prayer. The wonderful experience of answered prayer can be and should be a common experience in the life of a Christian. You know, I love testimony time. I really do. I enjoyed what the missionary had to say last Sunday night, that she was really overjoyed by your testimony. She said it reminded her of a service in her home church growing up. I love testimonies. I like to hear what God has done. But I tell you what really thrills my heart is when somebody stands up and says, this is what God did for me this week. You know, this is the prayer that God answered for me this week. Sometimes our testimony services are, this happened in a long time ago. Yeah, praise God for that. But you know what? God still answers prayer today, doesn't He? He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let it never be said of us that we failed to ask. We failed to ask. We had not because we did not ask. So the purpose of prayer is to request things from God, to receive things from God. And secondly, think with me about the procedures of prayer. The procedures of prayer. In Hannah, we have not only an example of one who prayed unto the Lord, but we also have in her a great example of how to pray. She asked and she received. How did she do that? How did she pray? When did she get an answer to her prayer? And what were the procedures that made her prayer an effective prayer? Now, let me point out before we consider how she prayed that the story says nothing about her posture. In the Bible, we find people praying in various postures. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 54, we find Solomon kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. In Genesis 19:27, we find Abraham as he stood before the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18, we read that David sat before the Lord. When it comes to the posture in prayer, I think of the prayer of Cyrus Brown, who said the proper way for man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only prayer attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight in outstretched arms and wrapped in upturned eyes. Oh, no, said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hand should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Well, I pray while resting every day, said Mr. Henry Pack. So I should think you say your prayers while lying on your back. Last year I fell in Murphy's Well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my knees a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, the best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. As far as posture is concerned, it really doesn't matter. I find, though, that it's not good for me to pray while laying on my back in bed because I'm usually asleep before you know it. God is not concerned so much if we are kneeling or standing or sitting or standing on our heads. What He is concerned about is this, that we pray. He's concerned that we pray. And so the question I want to ask is, how should we pray? How should we pray? Let's let Hannah continue to be our teacher. She prayed a sermon within itself, but let me point out briefly, six things about how she prayed. First of all, she prayed specifically. She prayed specifically. As I mentioned earlier, she prayed and she asked God for a child, not just any child. She even picked the gender. God, give me a son. Please, God, give me a son. Verse 11, she said, she prayed, give unto thine handmaid a man-child. So she prayed specifically for a son. One of the most important lessons I have learned in prayer is to be specific when I ask God for things. We often pray, Lord, I want you to bless my life. Well, how do you want God to bless your life? We pray specifically, we pray for specific things. Lord, I want more power in my life. Or Lord, I want to be able to win more people to Christ. See, those are getting more specific. It's one thing to pray and say, Lord, bless our missionaries around the world. But it's another thing to pray, Lord, would you bless Dwight Palmquist and keep him safe as he's serving in the Philippine Islands? It's one thing to ask God to bless the ministries of our church. But it's another thing to say, Lord, would you bless our youth ministry? See, that is being specific. God is asking us to be specific in our prayers. Hannah prayed specifically. She asked for a man-child. Also, she prayed submissively. Submissively. It has been well said that nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies... It has been well said that nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. When we find Hannah praying, verse 11, she prays, "If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child." She never doubted that God could give her a son. She's only asking that he would give her a son. "If thou wilt" was what she asked. She was asking God to give her a son. If this was God's will, then God answer this prayer and give me a son. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. One of the most important things that we can do, even before we pray, is to discern the will of God. And if this is the will of God, then we can pray with absolute confidence that God will grant that which he wants. This we need to remember about prayer. Prayer is never our getting our will done in heaven, but God getting his will done on earth. We might pray for pink Cadillacs and for money to mysteriously show up in our bank accounts to cover the checks that we write. But God will answer the prayers that are aligned with his will. With Jesus, we must pray, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Furthermore, Hannah prayed continually. She prayed continually. We read in verse 12, "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." That means that he was watching her mouth. And apparently, she was not praying all the time out loud. There were times when she was expressing her petitions quietly, and Eli saw her lips moving in prayer, although he did not hear any sound. But the truth that I want you to see is that she prayed continually. She continued praying before the Lord. Verse 7 speaks of how Hannah was provoked by her adversary year after year when she and her husband went up to the temple. Perhaps year after year she prayed that God would give her a son. And when we see her in the temple praying, she lingers before the Lord. She doesn't hastily exit the temple. She stays before God, continuing to pray. How easy sometimes we give up praying. Can I tell you, encourage you to never quit praying for the things you're asking for? Just because God does not answer that prayer immediately does not mean that he will not answer that prayer. Jesus taught us this important truth when he told us and gave us the parable of the unjust judge and the importance of persistence in prayer in Luke 11. And the parable of the man that continued to ask for bread, even waking his neighbor up at midnight and knocking on the door and not quitting, not giving up until his neighbor answered the door and gave him the bread that he requested. We should not give up in prayer. And then furthermore, we see that Hannah prayed fervently. Verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She tells Eli in verse 15, "I have poured out my soul before the Lord." This is no casual, half-hearted praying on Hannah's part. We see her weeping before God. She is pouring out her soul to God. There's great fervency and intensity in her praying. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16 that the effectual prayer of a fervent man, or the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, rather, avails much. Ian Bounds, whose writings on prayer rose to classics, wrote, "Prayer without fervor stakes nothing on the issue because it has nothing to stake. It comes with empty hands, hands too which are listless as well as empty, which have never learned the lesson of clinging to the cross. Fervorless prayer has no heart in it. It is an empty thing, an unfit vessel. Heart, soul, and life must find place in all real praying. Heaven must be able to feel the force of this crying unto God." He described fervency in prayer as fervency as its seat in the heart, not in the brain, nor in the intellectual faculties of the mind. Fervency, therefore, is not an expression of the intellect. Fervency of spirit is something far transcending poetical fancy or sentimental imagery. It is something else besides mere preference, the contrasting of like with dislike. Fervency is the throb and gesture of the emotional nature. Fervency in prayer is simply pouring out your soul before God. Sometimes you can't even form the words to say, but your heart is just reaching out to God. It is stretched out to God. And the Spirit then prays with us and through us, helping us with groanings that cannot even be uttered. It is our emotions being engaged in prayer. When we come to prayer in this way, we are coming with a longing heart. We weep before God. We cry our heart out. So we cry out to Him in prayer. That's fervent prayer. And if you have not had an answer to prayer, have you prayed with this fervency, with this intensity? And then we see Hannah prayed selflessly. Selflessly. Notice her promise to God in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She is making a vow here, a promise, that if God would give her a son, she would consecrate him to the service of the Lord. When she said that no razor would come to his head, she's speaking of the Nazarite vow in which a person would take that would be a total consecration to God. She was not praying for her benefit alone. She was praying that God would be glorified through answer to this prayer. That God would be glorified through this son. See, there's not a selfish pursuit in her praying, but it's spiritual. She wanted a son, yes, but she wanted this son to bring glory to God. James 4:3. I said it earlier, you don't ask, so you don't receive. But here, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You ask wrongly, that you may consume it upon your lust. Selfishness is a great hindrance to effective praying. We need to have God's glory in mind when we pray. And then, lastly, we see that Hannah prayed reverently. In verse 11, she addressed God in prayer as, O Lord of hosts. He's not the big man upstairs. He's not the Santa Claus in the skies. Now, there's none of that. There's reverence. O Lord of hosts. God, Lord of the armies of heaven. She acknowledges and worships Him as God, who's in charge, in control. See, there's worship in our praying. On all occasions, we must come before God reverently with a spirit of worship. We have to remember who we are talking to and in whose presence we are entering. There needs to be a spirit of reverence, a spirit of awe and amazement. There's a sense of our worthlessness and littleness when we come to God because He's glorious. He's almighty. He's the master of the universe. He's God. That's how Hannah prayed. Specifically, submissively, continually, fervently, selflessly, and reverently. And those are the ingredients for an effective prayer life. That's how you request and receive things from God. And lastly, in Hannah, we see the power of prayer. The power of prayer. I'm sure you've heard the words of Alfred Lloyd Tennyson. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain for me, night and day. Leonard Ravenhill said, one might estimate the weight of the world, tell the size of the celestial city, count the stars of heaven, measure the speed of lightning, and tell the time of the rising and the setting of the sun. But you cannot estimate prayer power. Prayer is as vast as God because He is behind it. Prayer is as mighty as God because He has committed Himself to answer it. R.A. Torrey said, prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. Prayer is the greatest force in the world. There is no greater means or powerful source at our disposal than prayer. Sometimes we think that, well, prayer is just, that's the only thing that I can do. No, it's the greatest thing that any of us can do, because prayer is the thing that gets things done. Now, we've already seen how Hannah's prayer was answered. Eli said to her in verse 17, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Hannah prayed, God moved. Hannah asked, God answered. God granted the very thing she had asked for. There is power in prayer. There is undeniable power of prayer. Undeniable power of prayer. On January 16th, 2002, Time article was entitled, "Investigating the Power of Prayer." The article was about Dr. Elizabeth Targ. The National Institutes of Health had awarded her grants of $611,516 for one study, $823,346 for another. Dr. Targ's studies concerned the therapeutic effects of prayer on AIDS and cancer patients. In 1998, she supplied the photographs and names of 20 patients as well as their blood counts to a diverse religious group. For an hour a day over a 10-week period, they were to concentrate their thoughts in prayer for these 20 patients. There was another group of 20 patients that were included in the study, but they were not known by the group praying. According to Targ, the prayed for patients had fewer and less severe new illnesses, fewer doctor visits, fewer hospitalizations, and were generally in better moods than those who had no one praying for them. Also, in a January 18th, 2000 CNN.com article titled "Probing the Power of Prayer," another study was cited. It was a controversial study of cardiac patients conducted at St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri. Dr. William Harris said, "Prayer may be an effective adjunct to standard medical care." Harris and his team examined the health outcomes of nearly 1,000 newly admitted heart patients at St. Luke's. The patients, all who had serious cardiac conditions, were randomly assigned to two groups. Half received daily prayer for 4 weeks from five volunteers who believed in God and in the healing power of prayer. The other half received no prayer at all. These volunteers were not told they were participants in a study. They were only given the first names of their patients and never visited the hospital. They were instructed to pray for the patients daily for a speedy recovery with no complications. Using a lengthy list of events that could happen to cardiac patients, such as chest pains, pneumonia, infection, and death, Harris concluded that the group receiving prayers fared 11% better than the group that didn't, a number considered statistically insignificant. Both studies were not without their critics, as you can imagine. The author of this article said, "I'm not a doctor, so can't comment on the medical validity of these studies, although I have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. I could say with absolute certainty that there is..." I'm not sure what that had to do with that. There is undeniable power in prayer. There have been things that have happened when people prayed, and there are things that can happen when people pray that cannot be explained apart from the power of God seen in answer to prayer. In other words, what I like about this is people who don't even believe in prayer, when they pray, find out that people who are prayed for fare better. God answers prayer. Even those who don't believe in prayer, even to those who are skeptics, they see the power of prayer. It is power that is also unlimited, the unlimited power of prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." There is nothing that we can ask for that is beyond the ability of God. There is not a need in your life. There is nothing that you could ask for today that is above God's ability and God's power to meet. We cannot even think of something that it would exceed God's power. Again, R.A. Torrey in his book, The Power of Prayer, comments on James 4:2. "Ye have not because ye ask not," he writes. "These seven words contain the secret of the poverty and powerlessness of the average Christian, of the average minister, and of the average church. Why is it many a Christian is asking that I make such poor progress in my Christian life? Why do I have so little victory over sin? Why do I win so few souls to Christ? Why do I grow so slowly into the likeness of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" And God answers in the words of the text, "Neglect of prayer, you have not because you ask not." Why is it? Why is it? We have to ask ourselves, why is there so little fruit in my life? Why are there so few conversions? Why don't I grow like I should? Why isn't my church grow like I should? And again, God says the answer is neglect of prayer. You have not because you ask not. I wonder why is it but that we are making such little slow progress in America today. Why are we making such slow headway against sin, unbelief, and error in all of its forms? If we are living on a low plane of Christianity, why would that be? The answer has to be neglect of prayer. You have not because you ask not. The unlimited power that is available to us through prayer is missed. It's missed for this reason, simply for this reason, because we do not pray. Because we don't pray. I believe that God wants to do far more than we could even ask or think or imagine. You know, the only thing that's holding us back is that we don't pray or we don't know how to pray. After today, I don't want you to have any excuses saying, I don't know how to pray. Hannah told you, she gives us that great example of how to pray. So really, the only thing that will stand between us and answered prayer is, are we willing to simply do it? Are we willing to pray? With the rewards of prayer being so high, with everything to be gained and nothing to be lost, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? I would like you to let Hannah be your teacher. And if you pick up the manual on the Christian life, you'll find that there's a chapter in there on how to pray. And Hannah is our example. She teaches us, she guides us, she walks us through how to pray. I'd like your head bowed and your eyes closed. Last week we asked for a commitment that you would just every day read your Bible. Every day read your Bible. We never said it had to be a chapter. We didn't put any specifics on it. We just said you need to read your Bible. And we told you how to read it. And today I'm asking for a commitment. Yeah, I know I'm talking about basics here, fundamentals. But sometimes it's the basics of the fundamental things that we overlook that cause us to miss out. I remember when I played basketball and we would start losing, the coach would always say it's because of the fundamentals. We'd go back, we'd practice the fundamentals. How to dribble, how to pass, how to box out when you rebound, things like that. It's the fundamental. I think it's the fundamentals in the Christian life, I really do, that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. And one of the greatest fundamental things that you can do is simply to pray. Simply to pray. So would you commit yourself, just like you committed yourself last week to read your Bible every day, would you commit yourself to pray every day? And again, I'm not putting a time limit on this. I'm not saying you have to pray an hour a day. Or anything like that. Missy called me this week. She said, you know what? Reading the Bible works. And she told me how she had spent 2 hours reading the Bible. Time flies by. You don't need to put a time limit on it. You don't have to put a minimum on it. But the thing is, do we pray? Do we pray? It's not the posture. All that is secondary to the question of do we pray. If you want more power in your life, you want more answers to prayer, you want to see God move, you want to see God bless, the only way to get those things is through prayer. And I wonder today how many of you, by an uplifted hand, say, Lord, I commit myself to pray every day.
just lift your hand up and then down. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. It can be while you're in the car. It could be as you get up in the morning. It could be as you're brushing your teeth before bed. It could be any time. I would encourage, yes, a time when you aren't doing anything else and God's got your full attention. I would certainly encourage that. Because that really is the only way you're going to be able to pray as Hannah prayed. But just start praying. Father, today I thank you for those that have made this commitment. It might seem like a simple one, a little one. But Lord, it's huge. It's big. Lord, we pray today that you would hear our prayers. But also, Lord, we would receive answers to our prayers. Lord, I look forward to testimonies, days, weeks, months ahead of you answering prayer. Little things and big things. Thank you, Lord, for those testimonies that we had last Sunday night that really were an encouragement to us, Lord, knowing that you want to answer prayer because you're concerned about not only the big things of our lives, but the little things as well. Lord, may we have more of that. More of that, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.